That's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel of John, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, and as we look at it now, we ask that we would see the light and the glory of Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Please do sit down. You're out there somewhere. It's light up here and it's dark out there. It's quite strange. But anybody falls asleep? I won't know tonight. As we start, I wonder if you can imagine, take yourself back to King Henry III's court in 1259. And imagine that somebody in King Henry's court looks forward about 700 years to 1959. And that person says that in 1959, a boy will be born in Forest Gate, East London, and his name will be called Dave. And he will be a wonderful church warden, and he will be a mighty lay preacher, and he will be an ever-loving, everlasting father and husband. And he will be prince of tall stories, and that he will work for the government as a civil servant forever and ever. Now, although a little bit of that is true, I was born in 1959, and 40-odd years as a civil servant does feel like forever. The rest, of course, is pretty much fiction. No one in King Henry's court anticipated my arrival. No one can foretell what's going to happen 700 years in the future, what a person will be like, what they will accomplish. No one, that is, unless you're one of God's special messengers that we can see in the Bible, like the prophet Isaiah, and God has given you a vision and told you what to write down to write down what's going to happen in 700 years' time. And what God announced through Isaiah in our first reading was that he would send a king. He was going to send the best ever king, the King of Kings, a king that wouldn't just restore the Jewish nation of that time period, who Isaiah had been told by God was heading for devastation because they turned away from God's ways, but the King of Kings, through whom God had promised that the whole world would be blessed. The promised descendant in the line of King David, who would bring the offer of salvation, of rescue for the whole world. And tonight, as we join together to celebrate the birth of that King, Jesus, we're going to do that with the help of Isaiah's words that David read, those two verses from chapter 9, that he wrote 700 years before Jesus. Because what God tells us about Jesus through Isaiah remains absolutely true for us today, as it did for Isaiah then, as it was when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, as it always will be. So what does Isaiah tell us about Jesus that's going to make a difference to us tonight, tomorrow, next week, the rest of our lives? Well, in verse 6, Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." To us. Jesus is a gift to us, for every one of us. He came born as a human child to accomplish our rescue, our salvation. And he came to us from God, the Son of God, given to us as that human child. The only person who would fully trust and obey God's ways, who would live and grow up to live the perfect life and then to die the perfect death, gaining for you and for me the promised rescue from death that we all deserve because of our desire to do our own thing, to make our own rules, to rule our own life without regard to God's ways. The child to be born would be fully human and fully God. And so, as Isaiah tells us a couple of chapters earlier, the baby will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that truth, that King Jesus is fully human and fully God with us, makes him the most amazing and perfect ruler in whom we can trust completely. Isaiah gives him four big kingly titles. Firstly, he is Wonderful Counselor. In Isaiah's times, kings were expected to give wise counsel, to make wise plans for their people. But kings then, and rulers and leaders now, often they don't do that very well, do they? Because they genuinely trust to themselves, or sometimes to their own selfish ambitions, or to a whole string of other advisors with their own agendas. But King Jesus doesn't need to go anywhere or to anyone else for advice. He has wisdom that is beyond our capabilities, beyond our comprehension. Because he's God, he is supernaturally wise. And because also he knows exactly what it was like to live here as a person, as a human on this earth, and all the joys and pains that go with that, we know that he will always give us the right advice when we seek his counsel. When we go to Jesus with our questions, with our concerns, with our requests, we can be certain that he will know what is best for us, and he will show what is best for us because he knows what we need. In the New Testament, where we can read about what Jesus said and did when he was here in person, we see that he always knew what to say and what to do. Always got it right. Because he's God, because he can see right into our hearts. And he hasn't changed. As he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting to return, he invites us. He invites you, invites me to come to him in prayer, to read the Bible, to see his guidance, his advice, his counsel. Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. And Isaiah says he is Mighty God. As Wonderful Counselor, we know that Jesus will show us the right path to tread. And as Mighty God, we know he will also give us what we need to actually walk that path. In our second reading from John's Gospel, we heard that Jesus called the Word in that passage was here from the beginning, before creation. He is God. He's always existed. And in fact, the whole of creation was made through Jesus, says the Bible. So his power and his knowledge, they know no bounds. And that means that whatever's going on in our lives, it's not too big for Jesus to handle. He is mighty and strong and powerful, and anything and everything is possible for him. Another messenger of God, the prophet Zephaniah, who came just a bit after Isaiah, he described God as mighty to save. Mighty to save us from whatever might be thrown at us in this life, but much more importantly, mighty to save us in this life for eternal life. And again, that's where we see Jesus is mighty supreme, because as the Son of God given to us, he died on the cross and defeated sin, and through his resurrection defeated death and evil and the devil. Mighty King Jesus has already paid the price of my sin and your sin. And if we turn to him, and if we ask him for his forgiveness and ask him to reign, to rule in our hearts, he will definitely do that. If we commit our lives to Jesus because he is mighty God, mighty to save, he will rescue us. He will free us. He will forgive us from whatever we've done wrong. Whatever guilt or addiction or sin is holding us captive, he will set us free. And when we do that, when we commit to Jesus, we receive his power, the power of Jesus through his Holy Spirit, to equip us, to guide us, to transform us as we worship him, as we follow him. Jesus is mighty God. And he is everlasting Father. And it might seem a bit strange at first that Isaiah says that Jesus, who is the Son of God, should also be called everlasting Father. That's a bit weird, isn't it? But so it's just helpful to confirm that we're not getting those two mixed up. The Father God, who we pray, our Father in heaven, remains separate in the sense to the Son. But Isaiah is writing using kingly language. And at that time, any king worth his salt, would be expected to watch over his people, to watch over his subjects like a really good father, caring, protecting, doing good for them. When we give our lives to Jesus to rule as our King and our Lord, he will not forsake us. He will be with us always, providing, caring, protecting, upholding in goodness and kindness and with generosity. He would do that now, and he will do that forever. Jesus is everlasting Father. And he is Prince of Peace. When we look at history and when we look around the world now, peace often seems almost a forlorn hope, doesn't it? For every conflict that comes to an end, another one seems to be triggered, whether it's in relationships, whether it's national, whether it's global. And until Jesus returns to bring final judgment and peace, it's probably going to carry on that way. But the peace that Isaiah refers to here when looking forward to Jesus is the deep personal peace that comes when we are reconciled to God, when our relationship with God is restored, when we know that we've been saved by God to be with him forever. And that peace is available right now because of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Later in his book, Isaiah, in chapter 53, he looks beyond Jesus' birth and onto his death. He looks how that deep peace of God would be bought for us, won for us. Isaiah says in verse 5 of chapter 53, but he, looking forward to Jesus, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. Jesus' death on the cross 30 odd years after his birth means that our rebellion against God can be forgiven, and we can have peace with God, a personal relationship with God through Jesus. And we can know the hope, the assurance, the joy, the deep happiness, the peace that God is with us now while we're here on earth, and because of that, that he will be with us forever. Jesus brings that peace from God. Jesus is Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of peace. Four big kingly titles and attributes that Isaiah gives Jesus. And I wondered if you noticed when David was reading how Isaiah sort of sandwiches those four kingly names and attributes by telling us that Jesus is governs the world. In verse 6, the government will be on his shoulders. In verse 7, of the increase or the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. The government of the world is on Jesus' shoulders. He is king of everything. He is in control. Well, you might sit there and think, well, how does that work then? Because, you know, when we look around the world with its conflicts, poverty, an increasing refugee problem, and world leaders pushing and pulling in different directions, some with good intentions and others with entirely selfish or even dangerous ambitions, well, it all looks all very complex. It all looks out of control. It doesn't look as though the government is on Jesus' shoulders. The end of the Bible tells us in Revelation, when Jesus returns, when he comes to fully establish his kingdom, that he will put everything right. And everyone, whether they follow Jesus or not, will know that it's right. They will see him. They will see it's put right by him. But why then so often doesn't it feel now that the government is on his shoulders? Well, because whether through ignorance, whether through our pride, whether through our selfishness, whatever it might be, as John said in our second reading, in verse 11, we did not receive him. Jesus came to us and we did not receive him. Instead of putting our trust in Jesus and the way he wants us to live, we continue to look for our peace and our justice and our happiness by trusting ourselves or trusting in someone or something else to govern our lives. Whether it's a politician or a leader or a way of life or even the latest craze. Yet as God tells us, only Jesus is capable enough, wise enough, powerful enough to deal with all the issues we face. Only he has the full and perfect credentials to be ruler of the world. So why do we struggle on with what we know deep down is impossible and unattainable by our own strength? When we can place everything on Jesus' shoulders, when all then becomes possible. In her message to the country yesterday, our Prime Minister, Theresa May, she was on the right track when she said that Christmas is a time to celebrate Christ and to celebrate the Christian values that underpin our heritage of our country. She was on the right track, but that's not the crux of it. Because Jesus wants us to trust him personally. He wants us to let him rule in our lives individually, personally, so that then he can rule through us and through those who follow his role model. So tonight my invitation to you and to all of us, to me, is to ponder again the baby Jesus through these words of Isaiah. To accept the gift of God that Jesus brings, a restored relationship with God. And let Jesus govern, let him rule your life so that his peace and his justice can increase. That his light and his glory can shine through us, making a difference in your family, making a difference in your road, in your neighbourhood, in your town and beyond. Tomorrow, this week, and until Jesus returns or he calls us to him. Where to start? Just say yes to the gift that God offers in the birth of his only son, Jesus. That's all you need to do. God takes all the initiative in giving us the baby Jesus. God accomplishes everything through his only son, the man Jesus, who died on the cross. Say yes to the gift and then worship and adore Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And from now until Jesus returns, the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen.